major things you look at before buying a property. You look at the market, the neighborhood, the county, and how they assess taxes and when that assessment happens and the factor by which it would go up. This should be the one thing you're underwriting that you hit pretty much right on the head, because there's literally a calculation formula you can look up.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to another Finance Friday episode. I'm your host, Sean Winslow, and this is the Multifamily Money Podcast. What is going on, everybody? You know the drill. Coming at you with all things personal finance on this good Friday. Well, actually, I am recording it the Friday before, which will actually air. But anyways, you know the drill. Every Fridays, we're talking about how to keep that money. Because after all, it's not what you make, but what you keep. Talking about strategies, how to get your money working harder for you, smarter, how to keep it, how to keep multiplying, to build that wealth that can create those dreams you've always had, and the dreams that we can all create to make this world than a better place. Because after all, I believe personal excellence thereby creates a better world. Because when we can make ourselves the best that we possibly can be, then we can go help others be better in this world. Then just by happenstance, we'll be better as well. But today, the topic I want to talk about, I noticed it on Twitter about a day or two ago. And those that aren't on Twitter, I used to always be anti-Twitter person. But if you want to, one, learn stuff, anything from finance to real estate, really anything, news, politics, geopolitical tensions, issues, literally anything. Twitter's where it's at. Some of the smartest people out there are on Twitter, voicing their opinions, their thoughts, what they've learned, their experiences, place to be. And also just to get news. It comes out way faster than anywhere else. And so the topic I'm talking about today is probably something by the time this airs, you've heard about. I heard it from different outlets, but the first place I heard it was on Twitter. Before I get into it, the reason I'm talking about it is this specifically has to do with keeping your hard-earned money, right? So after all, that should be your number one goal. It's how to preserve that capital, right? Return of capital before return on capital, right? We got to be focused on protecting the money before actually making a return. And so what I'm talking about, which I'm sure you all have heard by this point, is Arbor, which is a lender, foreclosing on a $229 million, 3,200 unit Houston multifamily portfolio, which is huge. This is one of the first outside of obviously the stuff we've heard with BlackRock, Blackstone, but from like a smaller operator. Obviously, smaller being relatively speaking compared to BlackRock and Blackstone, but this is a big deal, right? That's a $229 million portfolio is being foreclosed upon. And so a group out of New York, I'm not going to give any names to who's actually the operator, but a group out of New York called Fundamental is the one that's going to be part of the foreclosure. So what happens is, this is just high level, I'm not getting the details, but essentially Fundamental will acquire the portfolio at a discount, right? And then they'll bring it to auction, where other investors, and then I've seen a picture also on Twitter of people at the quote unquote, what, the courthouse, right? Trying to make bids on this portfolio, right? So still a crazy world out there. It wasn't just one person there bid, it was dozens of groups at there. But again, I'm not going to name the actual former owner and operator of the said portfolio. The purpose of this is the red flags you need to look out for, the due diligence you should be doing on the operator, the sponsor, before you get into any type of real estate or any, for the matter of fact, any private placement type of investment, right? Or any just investment in general, is you need to do due diligence, just like if you're investing in a stock. You need to do due diligence on the executives, the management. Yeah, they could have a great product, but if it's not the right people in place, they could easily just run it into the ground and thereby running the stock price into the ground and your hard-earned money. The same thing goes with a private placement investment like real estate syndication, which this was. Yeah, it could have been in a great market like Houston, could have been in a great neighborhood, albeit I don't know Houston very well, so I don't know if this was. Sounds like it was kind of workforce C-class housing. So all these things could have been from a property level, which I don't know because I haven't dug into, but let's just say it could have been a great investment from a property level, neighborhood, market level. But if it's not the right operator, it can easily be run into the ground and thereby investors losing their hard-earned money. And that was the case. You know, I've seen correspondence emails between the sponsor and limited partners. I've seen limited partners make comments and they lost their money. That's what happens in a foreclosure because it's all about the capital stack, right? person in the first position, which would have been, I believe, Arbor in this case, the lender gets paid first. And if there's mezzanine debt, they get paid next. And then if there's preferred equity, which I believe there was, they get paid. And then the last on the totem pole is the limited partner, the everyday investor. And when you're going to foreclosure and they're buying at pennies on a dollar, the whole loan's not even getting paid back. So you think the last person on the totem pole is going to get paid back? No, that's just not the case. And it's sad. I never want to see this happen to anyone. I don't care if there's karma with the operator or whatever, if they had it coming. That's besides the point. You never want to see anyone lose their money. Innocent limited partners lose their money. You just don't want to see that. The purpose of me coming on to talk about this is hopefully so this doesn't happen to others. And I get it, right? Over the last 3 years, people were making crazy money in the real estate market, especially the commercial real estate market. 20, 30 plus IRRs in like 1 to 2 years, doubling to tripling your money in 1 to 2 years. Like, who wouldn't want to be a part of that, right? Emotions take over and it's like, yeah, I want to triple my money in a year to 2 years. Who wouldn't, right? And it's tough because you see your buddy doing it. You see your coworker doing it. You see a family member doing it and you don't want to miss out. And unfortunately, I feel like it's going to happen again. And people probably jumped in without doing their homework because of that circumstance, right? You see others making a killing and you don't want to miss out. That also generally usually precedes some type of downturn or recession. When the good is good, people want to jump in and pile in. And then it gives kind of that last breath, that last push to the market because people are piling in and then the music's already stopped, but people don't realize it. So they pile in and it gives it that last hurrah and then it goes down. But what I want to talk about today is kind of what you should look out for, the due diligence you do on a sponsor, because this group, which again, I'm not going to name, but at this point, when this airs, it's going to be over a week since the news came out. I'm sure the group's name is out there, but that's not my point of coming on here. But anyways, there was a lot of red flags. When I looked up this operator, there's a lot of red flags just out of the gate, even without any of this, like before any of this came to light, there should have been red flags. And I want to get into some of those red flags here. And I've talked about this before. The number one thing you should do due diligence on the sponsor and operator is their track record. Have they done this before? Have they done this specific thing before? Okay, they're a real estate investor, but they were doing single family fix and flips, and now they're taking down an 800 unit portfolio of large multifamily complexes. Okay, well, just because they flipped and fixed 100 plus single family homes, does that mean that take down this huge portfolio that brings on a whole different type of world from different capital partners, capital structure, lenders, equity partners, all the way down to operations from on-site staff, property management company, asset management, construction management, all this thing. It's a whole new world. So what's their track record? And again, not everyone can have a track record, right? It's the whole chicken before the egg. What comes first, right? Well, yeah, if I don't have a track record, how do I create one without doing it? And my answer to that is best to partner with people who have done it before. And if they are doing that, you want to make sure that it's just not partnership on paper. And what I mean by that is to make it look good in their pitch deck that they're partnering with so-and-so who has 20 plus years of experience, thousands of units under the belt. That looks great, right? It's in the pitch deck. They're not necessarily have anything to do with day-to-day operations. Behind the scenes, little do you know, they're only getting X percentage, 5-10% to put their name on it. But once it's closed, they don't have anything to do with it. Make sure that's not the case. Make sure if this person doesn't have a track record that the person they're partnering with is taking an active position in operating this property, this investment. That's very important. And so you really want to know their track record and people they partner with, their track record, and are they actually active in the deal? Number two is, I think this is important in anything you do in life, any type of venture, business, or just life in general. How you do the little things is how you do everything. There's a lot of people who think that, like, once I get this job, once I get this position, once I get to this point in life, then I'll be great. Then I'll do this. No, it's how you do anything. You're going to be the fry cook at McDonald's. Be the best dang fry cook you possibly can be. It's all about stacking habits and creating that persona, right? Be the best at whatever you're currently doing. You develop those habits and it translates into the next level when you get promoted and the next level. That's how you do things. So attention to detail. So if you looked at their website, which I did, there was tons of grammar and spelling mistakes all over the place. Now, if you see a, you know, maybe grammar or spelling mistake here and there, no one's perfect, right? However, now you can run it through AI, Chat GPT, and it could solve that for you, every section of your website for sure. But let's just say before, no one's perfect. But if it's just like a theme across the website, like on every page in multiple areas, come on. I saw their email correspondence. grammatical and spelling errors everywhere. I saw their marketing. Same thing. You got to be paying attention to detail. And I'll just read an email that they got referring to why the property wasn't doing so well. So they sent out probably a few months before it went to foreclosure, a capital call, and they highlighted why they were doing a capital call. So it says, I want to let you know that things are not going well with this property due to the reasons below, which created shortage of funds for this property. And those reasons are mortgage payment increased due to the rapid increase in interest rate. Well, I'm going to get touch on that in a second because another bullet point highlights that. But come on, we all knew this was happening and it was on the forefront. It was inflation. What do you think is going to happen? And that should always be in your underwriting. What if interest rates do rise? That's how we do it. Two, rent collections decrease due to non-paying tenants. Evictions are in progress. Again, that should be in your underwriting. Vacancy and bad debt, that should be in your underwriting. You should also see what the property has historically done. And obviously, you want to be a little higher and also take from your experience what you've typically seen on this type of asset in this type of market. Three, property insurance costs increased by 40%. Again, why aren't you looking into these things? I'm not saying everyone can predict that it's going to go up by 40%, but we've seen this happen over the past 2 years that insurance has been going through the roof. And that's a no-brainer. When the cost to build goes up from materials to labor, especially in this market, there's been storms. Like, come on, that's a no-brainer. That's what happens. When it costs more to build, your replacement cost is going to go up. Thereby, your insurance is going to go up because that's part of what the insurance is based on. Property taxes increased by 20%. Come on. This is the most blatant one. Come on. That's one of the major things you look at before buying a property. You look at the market, the neighborhood, the county, and how they assess taxes and when that assessment happens and the factor by which it would go up. This should be the one thing you're underwriting that you hit pretty much right on the head, nail on the head, right? Because there's literally a calculation formula you can look up on these counties' websites that tell you this. Come on. You should have known that it was going to go up by 20%. And the last one, this is also terrible. I can't believe. We have to buy interest rate cap down the road. Tell me you already didn't have an interest rate cap? When you buy floating rate or adjustable rate debt, specifically floating rate, you buy an interest rate cap always, or you don't do that type of debt. That this is just crazy to me. This goes both on track record and attention to details, right? And this is also going to hit on a couple other things, steps that I'm talking about here with doing due diligence on operator. But they should know these things. This is common sense. You always buy an interest rate cap, or you just don't do that type of debt. You never put yourself and your investors in a position where the deal could blow up when you had a clear solution to not make that happen. And when they purchased these deals, I think somewhere in 2020, somewhere in 2021, interest rate caps were still super cheap. We bought a deal in 21. I believe the interest rate cap was 30 grand to buy. 30 grand. So you're going to tell me you're going to be cheap enough and not pay 30 grand on a multi-million dollar deal. These deals were tens of millions of dollars each one that totaled up to 229 million. You're going to tell me you're not going to spend that type of money on something like that. And maybe for a deal that size would be closer to 50. But back then they were super cheap. Now they're really expensive, half a million plus. But you're telling me you're not going to buy that? That's crazy to me. Attention to details. And this hits right into the next one, is check the sponsor's reputation and credentials. So what are their credentials? Obviously, what's their reputation? I still can't get over that. That's crazy to me. So when you check the sponsor's reputation and credentials, obviously who they are, what they've done in the past, anyone on their team, who they are, what they've done in the past. And from a reputation standpoint, is looking at the lenses from a limited partner, what I would do and what I've seen some of my smartest and savviest limited partners do is they ask for 2 to 3 references, right? So they want to talk to 2 to 3 of your current and former limited partners that have done deals with you. And they also ask for 2 to 3 references of anyone on your GP partnership team, which is so smart. And I think that's something you should do because then you can uncover things, right? And always ask for more than one and two, because if they're going to give you one, they're going to give you their best one. They're going to give you their mother, right? Oh, Sean is the best. He can't do anything wrong. Like, no, you don't want that. Like, so I always suggest if they give you a list of three, pick 2 or 3. Usually one's going to be the best. That's always going to give a glowing review. 2 to 3 will give you generally the truth. And then as well, you want to be talking to anyone on the team as well. And especially if you're looking to invest with someone, like step one, track record, right? If they're bringing on someone who has the track record, you definitely want to get references from that individual. And if they're going to be running the deal, right? Definitely want to look at them. And then obviously the credentials too. You want to know, like, what do these people do? Like, okay, this person's a construction management they have any credentials for that? This person asks the manager, property manager, do they have any credentials for that? Not that it's the end all be all, but it's important, right? And then next is, plays right into the team too, is evaluate the team, right? So evaluate the team. One, I like to see other boots on the ground. Anyone on the team within 1 to 2 hours of the property. That's huge. I learned it early in my career, like one, you either got to have someone there or you're going to be flying down all the time. And that gets really costly. And it's important to have someone boots on the ground because one, they're going to know the market, but then it's two, they can get to the property, check in on things, make sure what is being said is actually being done. That's huge. And you just want to see there's experience in all facets of operating, right? From construction management, asset management, property management, finance is really important, right? You want clean, healthy books. You want people to understand capital markets. Like I've talked about in a previous episode, you really need to understand the debt market before you can really understand real estate, because it's debt market controls real estate. And we're seeing that now, right? From interest rates spiking, loan to values going down, which affects what you can buy a property at, how you can operate a property. Yeah, really good to have that type of team on these deals. And so another thing I want to touch on is another email that was sent. This is from an investor. So it was to an investor, a screenshot from an LP. Hi, as an update, I want to inform you the status of negotiations with the lender and the preferred equity investor are not going well so far. It appears at the time that the foreclosure of this property is still scheduled to occur tomorrow. As of now, our attorneys and those Arbor and Fundamental Partners are still continue to be in contact and discuss. As you can see, just put this in chat. GPT would have wrote a way better email. But anyways, we remain hopeful that something positive can occur. I will advise as soon as I hear. I wouldn't want that type of email from someone on my GP team. One, obviously, there's the grammar, there's spelling issues, and just really out of the loop and remain hopeful that something positive can happen. Like at this point, you know nothing's going to happen. And if you do, like, explain what that is, you're talking about people that are about to lose their hard-earned money. You really need to evaluate the team, do due diligence on them. This is what will make or break any deal. Like I said, to be the best property, the best location, the wrong team can run it into the ground. So number five of what you should do during due diligence of an operator and sponsor, and that is financial health. That's the financial health of the overall business of the operator, of the sponsor. Obviously, there's only so much you can ask for. You're not asking for everything and their mother in the kitchen sink, right? But you want to know that there's financial health. Do they have the reserves? Do they have the liquidity? Where are they operating at a profit? And then obviously you want to know financial health of past deals, of current deals, and then from the property level of this current deal as well, right? This is important because again, hit back on number two, attention to details, how you do the little things, how you do everything. So how the financial health of your own business as a whole, of past deals, of current deals, will tell you about future deals. So that's important. Number six, understand their exit strategy. Also, again, very important. One, because you want to be in line on what they want to do, right? Are you looking for a 3 to 5 year exit or a 10 year exit? Are you looking for consistent cash flow with a smaller upside, or are you looking for little to no cash flow with a huge upside, right? And this is things you need to know, because I was looking at their website and they've been promising 20 plus percent IRR, right? That was doable in the last 3 years due to just the market conditions. Again, called risk-adjusted returns. When you're getting a higher return, it's generally because there's more risk associated, right? So if you look at the pitch deck for this, they were having in front of me right now, but it was over 20%. It was like 21, 22% IRR projected, right? Which is really good. That's really high IRR. That's going to come with some risk, and we can see the risk right there. It got foreclosed on. So when you look at their exit strategy, what is their exit strategy? Hit these huge home runs. Well, if you're not comfortable with that, or you're later on in your life and careers, that's something you really want to take the risk for? Probably not. And so you need to be aligned. And also, if you knew their exit strategy, you'd be like, why aren't you buying a cap rate? So you're going to buy a bridge loan. You're going to do renovations, fix up the units, fix up the tenant base, flip this, get into secure debt, but there's no rate cap on this? Yeah, it's just, again, the little things. Like, come on, that should have been a no-brainer. This, it just blows my mind. So you got to understand their exit strategy. You got to make sure you're aligned with that exit strategy. And then number seven, property level. Obviously, this is the last one. You really want to really do due diligence on the operator. And that's what this is about. But from the property level, this has a little to do with the operators, because you want to see, like, how are they viewing, how and why are they viewing this as a great deal, right? So you want to know the market in the neighborhood that it's in. You want to see positives there, right? Are they familiar with it? When you're operating at this kind of scale, you probably invest in a lot of markets, so you're not going to be maybe as intimate as others that focus on one market, but you still want to make sure they have a solid understanding of the market, right? Of the neighborhood. Because, you know, certain neighborhoods two blocks down can make a difference of whether a property can be successful or not, right? It could be from two blocks down can be a B neighborhood to a D neighborhood real quick. So you want to understand that. Again, the financials, you want to know the financials of the property. Where have they been for the last couple of years? And where are we pushing this? You obviously want to know the story. That's the one thing about real estate that there is a little emotion to it. And by the emotion, I mean, I don't mean making a decision based on emotion, but there is a story that comes with the real estate. Who the seller? Is the seller another syndicator who bought it a year ago and is just trying to make a quick buck? That gives me a little red flag. Or is it a mom and pop that's owned it for 30 years and they passed away and the kids don't want to be in this business, so they want to get rid of it? That's probably a solid story right there. There's probably deferred maintenance. There's probably lagging market rent. There's probably a position to do a value add. And they'll probably be not as sophisticated as someone who's just trying to maximize top dollar. They're probably looking to make, don't get me wrong, a good return, but also put it in good hands to take care of the property. So what's the story? How did they source it? How are they going to structure it from a capital structure standpoint? What's the business plan? Do all these things align? Why did they believe it is? You went on, they posted some of their pitch decks and their webinars on their website. If you went on and watched them, to me, a lot of those things didn't align, didn't sound right. So this is all important. And this is not to discourage anyone to try to get into this business. This is more for limited partners to make sure they're not getting taken advantage of. Not that this person was trying to take advantage of anyone or this group, but there were some clear red flags that they weren't completely buttoned up. They probably weren't in a position to be taking down these larger portfolios all by themselves, clearly. So this is to let others know that want to invest that this is the homework you should be doing. No questions about it. And for those that want to be an operator, just goes to show that, yeah, there's a lot of gurus out there. There's a lot of great marketers that can make you feel like you can get 2,000 units in a year and be worth millions of dollars and successful and provide solid returns to limited partners, right? Probably are some people who can do that, are just really smart, skilled people, and then know how to surround themselves with the right people. But that's the key thing, surrounding yourself with the right person. There's a lot of that out there, but there's something to be said about growing slow. After all, you've probably heard the quote many times from many different sources. You know, real estate isn't get rich quick. It's get extremely wealthy over the long term. And that has something to do with tortoise and the hare. Take the tortoise approach. Go slow. Scale. Build. Stabilize. Scale. Build again. Stabilize. There's something to be said about that. After all, you want to keep this stuff. You don't want to lose it. You don't want to make a few million bucks in a year or two and then lose it all and have to start over again. Why not grow a little slower? Stabilize. And then by decade plus down the road, you're worth a lot of money and you're not losing sleep overnight because you lost investor capital or you lost your own money or both. You're just not sleeping well because you don't want to live that type of life. And to that point, don't get discouraged or FOMO or feel like when you hear someone say, I have this many units, don't worry about that. One, you don't know how much they own. You don't know the financial health that they're in personally and their properties. You just don't know. You got to figure out what your goals are and what you want to achieve. And then reverse engineer what it's going to take to get there and block out all the noise, right? You know, Jimmy over there has got 5,000 units worth $500 million, right? Don't worry about that. Worry about you, and what you want to do, the dreams you want to create. Like I always say, it's about personal excellence to create the dreams that you want to create, right? And it creates that life of your dreams. That's what it's about. But it's about focusing on you and your goals and what it takes to achieve those goals, the habits you need to create, the discipline. That's what we need to focus on. And to talk about habits and discipline, if you're going to invest in someone else's deal, this is a habit and discipline that you need to create, the diligence you need to do on an operator and sponsor. So again, there's a lot of gurus out there that have sold these courses, and I'm not trying to bash on it because there's something about education. I think you should educate yourself. But I saw, I can't remember if it was Instagram or tweet or something, but or maybe a podcast, but it's one of the bigger gurus in the space was saying there's a lot of young, and not by age, but by experience, a lot of young people in this business just starting up are going to get it handed to them and they're going to lose a lot of money. I think it stemmed off of this whole Arbor foreclosure. And I just had a chuckle, man, because I said to myself, well, yeah, a lot of those people that are about to lose a lot that are new to this game took your course, man. So that goes back on you. That's besides the point. It's more about doing the due diligence that is necessary to be successful in anything, knowing that there's no shortcuts. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time, discipline, and work. All right, everybody. I just want to get here and share this. I'm sure you've heard this story because, you know, we're releasing this a week after, but I think it's important. It's really important to know this is probably not the last one. There's probably more to come. And that stinks. I don't want to see people lose money. Never do. Especially people that are, you know, innocent, hardworking people that put their money into something to get a return to make their future maybe a little brighter. And now it's not. Like, that sucks. I think it's important to learn from others' mistakes so we can all be better in the future. All right, everybody. As always, if you got value from this, please, please share with someone else you think can get value, whether that be sending this directly to them via link, posting on your socials. It's really greatly appreciated. Or if it's just leaving a rating or review, because that helps with the algorithm, both on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And then if you watch on YouTube, obviously hit subscribe and smash that like button. All right, everybody. As always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, but have your money work hard for you. So we can all create the lives of our dreams. Because after all, personal excellence is what makes the world a better place. All right, everybody. Catch you on the next one.
Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial service industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and, of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.